The Ministry of Risen Motherhood is funded by our generous donors. If you like this podcast, please consider joining them at risenmotherhood.com/give.
Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Hey guys, welcome to Risen Motherhood. I'm Laura and I have my sister-in-law Emily here.
Hey.
And we are excited to be back with another episode out of the archives, bringing it out of the vault, you might say. But before we get to that show, we wanted to let you guys know that this week is actually our pledge drive.
Yes, we are actually a crowdfunded nonprofit, which means that we do get a portion of income from sponsorships and affiliates and things like that. But the way that we really are able to produce all of our podcasts that you guys know and love, our articles on our website, all the things that we do is really because people like you donate to the ministry.
Yeah, so something people ask us about is, hey, what kind of perks am I going to get if I sign up to donate with you guys? And that is a super valid question because we know a very normal way of funding a nonprofit or a ministry these days is to say, like, go on something like Patreon and you're going to get these free bonus episodes and you're going to get time with the creators and you're going to get these free printables and all sorts of things like that. And that is all well and good, but one of our philosophies here at Risen Motherhood is actually that we want to make sure that every mom in the world, regardless of her socioeconomic status, can access all of the content we have here at Risen Motherhood.
Yeah, one of the stats we came across recently is that at least an American mom uses the internet for about 3.5 hours a day. 93% of moms are using social networking sites in that time. 83% of moms who were polled said that they browse their social media platforms specifically for parenting information.
That's
and
crazy.
So we know that women are out there struggling to process all of the things in motherhood, and they are looking to social media, looking to digital platforms to explain, to give them answers for those things. And we want to be right there to meet them with free gospel-centered content.
That's right. So when you donate to Risen Motherhood, while we do have a couple of insider things that we do, we have the RM report, which kind of tells you about up-and-coming things, ways to pray for us and the ministry, or it tells you all about really cool stories that we get into our inbox. In general, the biggest thing that you guys are allowing us to do is to say that, hey, now every mom in the world can access everything. So there isn't this embargoed content that we have to offer because for those who donate, but instead we're able to say, hey, everybody now, you can access everything that we have. And so all the podcasts, all the articles, all the resources, everything that we have is free. And that is really, really, like, it's so exciting to me.
Yeah, and we know that it's happening because we are in 207 countries
yes.
across the world. Side note, that's kind of a complicated number to come up with because you start Googling around how many countries there are in the world. It's different. But we are excited to primarily be like in the U.S., Canada, Australia, U.K., Singapore, South Africa. Of course, that list goes on and on, but those are just some of the biggest areas. We have this number is like a little shocking to me, but about 9 million unique podcast downloads. And so this is getting into the hands of moms for sure.
That's right. And it's all made possible by ordinary moms just like you at home. And so we want to ask you today, will you take time to pray, talk with your husband if you are married, chat with your friends about what they're doing or your local church and see what you might be able to contribute to Risen Motherhood to allow us to continue to just spread the gospel around the world. I think something interesting is that it costs us about $1.25 to reach each community member that we have here at Risen Motherhood. So if you were to even give $5 a month, that would help us to reach almost 50 women a year with the hope of the gospel.
Yeah. So again, you can donate to us today by heading to risenmotherhood.com/donate. It's going to help continue to make the content that you love and enjoy and want your friend to hear about or want your unbelieving neighbor to hear about down the street to keep accessing those things. So definitely head to risenmotherhood.com/donate now to give.
Yeah, and if you want to learn any more about how we make income, what we do with that funding, you can head over and follow us on social media at Risen Motherhood on Instagram. And also, please know that we are a 501c3 nonprofit, which means that your contribution is tax deductible, and that we have an amazing board that oversees everything that we do here at Risen Motherhood. So if you ever have questions about how we make decisions or who's helping us steward the ministry, it's actually those board members whom you can find on our website to see all of their names. They're just really wise and wonderful people that we're really thankful God has put into our lives.
Yes. Love it. Okay. Well, that was the pledge drive.
Yes.
And now we've got an episode from the vault.
The vault.
That's so cool that you said that. It sounds so mysterious.
I know. I kind of like it. Let's start calling it that.
From now on. Remember, we had a vault on Risen Motherhood for a very short period of time.
If you have been around RM for the whole time, you will know about the vault. It was a good idea. Just we didn't have enough time.
Yeah. All right. So moving away from the vault, what are we talking about? This episode today is all about kind of the quick fix things that we reach for in motherhood. Whenever we're having a rough day, we're struggling to cope with just the pressures and responsibilities of everyday life in motherhood. And we tend to crutch on things. We tend to grab the coffee, grab the social media on the phone, the food, all of the things. We're just kind of exploring that reaction and then what would be the right place to turn.
But one thing we want to mention that we didn't mention on this show when we recorded it a few years ago was just to acknowledge the fact that sometimes some crutches, they've gone too far or they've gone too long unchecked, or perhaps they've even turned into an addiction. And so if you feel like, hey, I'm really trying to change, or I'm trying to get out of, you know, leaning on my crutch, but it seems extra hard or too difficult, just know that you may need to seek the help of a professional or a doctor, or bring in some dear friends or your local church, but that there are some things that it's not simply to, you know, I think in the show we kind of say something like, you know, you can make the choice and then turn away from it. And that works for a lot of things. But we also want to acknowledge that sometimes it's a little more complicated than that. And we don't actually talk about that on the show. So we wanted to say something up front.
Yeah, definitely acknowledging too, aside from the addiction piece, which can be huge for some people, but just that developing self-control and new habits in different areas can be a very long, arduous, ongoing process that requires a real fight and real fight against sin. And that fight doesn't always look like an immediate daily battle. So we just wanted to acknowledge that as we go into this show. And yet all of us, you know, continue to look towards Christ and pursue holiness, you know, in light of the fall even.
Yeah, it's a good point, Em. Okay, let's get to the show.
Welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. Emily and Laura here.
Hey, guys.
And we are excited to kick off today's show with a special announcement that you may have already heard if you're following us over on social media at Risen Motherhood. That's where we tend to make kind of new big announcements.
Bigger stuff, yeah.
Because we record these in advance. But we are writing a book.
Yay!
Risen Motherhood, the book.
It's always weird to make announcements to, like, Emily's closet, basically, is what we're doing right now.
Yeah, my husband's work jeans just got really excited about that. So it's coming out fall 2019. We don't have a ton of details yet because we are in the manuscript writing phase, so pray for us.
Oh, brutal phase. But it's fun.
I know, it's this cool combination of just really enjoyable and just really gratifying work, but also it's difficult in some ways. So, but we are excited to share the journey with you guys. So follow us, like I said, on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Risen Motherhood, but mostly Instagram is where we'll kind of share.
We do a lot of behind the scenes on stories. Yeah. So if you don't watch our stories, totally fine, but that's where a lot of, like, we'll hop on and talk and share just behind the scenes looks and stuff. So
yes.
Okay. So on to our show. Today we're talking about what can sometimes feel like a little bit of a sensitive topic because we all have little crutches that we like to lean on, and we don't want anybody to mess with our crutches. And so I think we're going to start off though by talking a little bit about just how motherhood drains you.
Yes, I think it does. And there's certainly seasons where it's more draining than others. But one I always, like, vividly remember is not long after my twins were born, I was actually
pumping and bottle feeding them. And then our older child at the time was like 16 months old.
I
know.
We're all tired for you.
One of the first days that I was home all by myself all day long, I remember pumping like with one of those, this is too graphic, maybe for some user, turn it up, with like a bra. And so I was literally walking around pumping with my backpack on, trying to like feed and take care of twins. And my, you know, toddler baby is pushing a chair into the kitchen and like climbing on stuff. And I, once I got everyone safe, remember going to my room and literally hitting my knees and being like, God, why did you do this to me? Like, and you have to help me. And just being completely desperate and completely at the end of my rope and just feeling like, I don't know how I'm going to survive this.
I know it's funny now, but it's never funny at the time, right?
It's not funny.
We all have those moments. I think we think of my immediate, every time someone asks me, like, when were you the most weekend motherhood, is going back to my daughter's colic. But I have talked about that so much on the show. I'm going to talk about a different time. I think you guys are all like, we know your daughter had colic, Laura. Mm-hmm. But the most recent was just this past summer. We were transitioning into having our third baby. She was actually diagnosed with special needs the same week that my husband broke his leg and ended up having surgery and was on crutches for 3 months. He was in a wheelchair for about a few weeks. And it was just a really, really hard season with young little kids, a husband that really could not help and actually needed a lot of my help, and then dealing with just a lot of grief on top of all of that. And that was a season that I cried, not every day, but I cried a lot of days. And when I cried really, really hard. And I just found that was a time where I was like, I literally can't do it. I hit the wall. And you think you hit the wall a lot in motherhood, but then you slam into it one day and you're like, oh, that's the wall. Okay, I really did find the wall this time. And so, you know, those are just things that we all have, I think, and we can all think of sometimes.
Yeah, and maybe it's something you can't relate to, something that intense yet, but it's something like you've just had 3 or 4 days in a row without much sleep, and you just feel like, I don't know how I can carry on today. Or maybe you have been trying to balance work and motherhood for whatever reason, and you just feel like, hey, I'm not doing a good enough job in either area, and I'm tired, I'm worn out. Maybe you just have a lot of work in the home that you're having a hard time keeping up with. I mean, we all have laundry and dishes and things that we have to coordinate on calendars, and it can just be a lot and really overwhelming.
Yep. Yeah, it doesn't have to be huge things. Mm-hmm. It can be a lot of these little things, and maybe even feeling really lonely or isolated. Maybe it's not something you're doing every day. It's the fact that you don't have friendships, or you don't maybe have fellow believers around you, because maybe you're a single mom and you feel really alone in your role, or maybe you're a missionary and you feel like there isn't that local church support that you wish that you had.
Yeah, but whatever it is, I think we all have these seasons, big and small, where we feel like we're at the end of our rope. And one thing we can do, Laura and I can relate to this, is we can rely on just kind of crutches or survival tools aside from Jesus. And I know one for me, a lot of times, well, I have a lot, but I'll just share one example.
We're going to get vulnerable with you guys and tell you about our crutches.
Yeah, is I think sweets, honestly. And if I don't have them in my house, I'm not too bad. But if I know I've got like a bag of cookies sitting around, if it's been a really stressful day, it's usually about 2 p.m. and I just have one and I'm like, that tasted good. And I like deserve more of these. And then here's the way my reasoning goes. I'm just going to eat the whole bag so they're not a temptation anymore.
Logical, incredibly logical.
Then they're not there anymore and I don't have to walk by them. So I just think that's one of many things for me that can be like after the fact. I know that was a gross overindulgence and completely unnecessary, but it made me think it was going to help me get through the day.
Yeah, I think for me, it's similar because it's a sweet treat, but it's coffee. I love the frou-frou coffee drinks. I don't normally drink it. I usually have black, but I know that whenever I'm having a hard day or a hard season, I definitely go through the drive-through lane thinking, I deserve this. Mm-hmm. It's very different than like, oh, you know, having a couple cups of coffee. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but definitely my heart attitude towards getting a frou-frou $5 drink is, oh, I've had such a hard day. I totally need this. I mean, I will go out of my way to go get that coffee. And I feel like I can't feel good until I have it. And then I get upset if I'm not able to have it. And so for me in certain seasons, I definitely notice the coffee. And I think both of us, Emily and I, were talking
checking. Our phones can be something that
I wanted to mention that.
Yeah, we want to check out on, or like maybe it's just a hard moment. We're like, okay, let's go see what's happening on pretty Instagram. Yeah.
I'm like, and I'll get to where I'm sitting on the couch. Again, this is usually like the end of the day, and I'm like yell parenting from the couch because I just am done, and I'm like, let me just sit here and look at my phone. Hey, what are you guys doing down there? Stop that. So we all have these things. Maybe you couldn't relate to any of those, but maybe for you, it's wine. I think that's something in mom culture we see a lot, and maybe you're drinking it to the point of drunkenness, or you're hiding it from people, or you're doing it alone, you know, to cope. Maybe it's the gym or exercising. Again, nothing wrong with being healthy and getting those endorphins and getting out your stress, but it can become a way that we're just trying to cope with something.
Or maybe it's the fact that you are leaning on your friends. You need them to survive throughout the day, and you're constantly texting them. You're wanting to be with them. You feel like you can't be home, or you can't be alone with yourself. Or maybe it's inspirational quotes or sayings that are secular or of the world telling you that you're doing enough and you're going to be okay. Just try harder. Online shopping. I think that can just, it feels good. You get a thrill when you purchase new jeans on the internet. Or work, you know, wanting to detach from your current home life and invest into work because you can see the productivity. You feel a little more successful, and there's not a bunch of barriers, tiny barriers in your way for getting things done.
Yeah. So I think, again, what we want to say, these are in and of themselves not necessarily bad things, but when we're using them as a crutch, that's when it kind of goes into this area where our hearts are wrong. So I thought Laura could, she shared a little bit about her husband breaking his leg, but I mean, kind of what was that season like when he would have been hobbling around? Like, explain what happened a little bit.
Well, the biggest thing that I always remember is that he was unable to use his hands during that season and because they were full with the crutches, you know, they were leaning on crutches. And so he couldn't really help me do anything. Mm. And he was incapable of really getting any work done or getting through anything. And it was really hard as a wife, I guess I will say. I was like, get a little fanny pack, honey. You can just tuck your things in there. And so crutches, let's not take this analogy too far, but something with that, I think, is that we're looking for that quick fix, but ultimately it sort of paralyzes you and you're not able to be effective. And long-term being on crutches, it doesn't heal what is broken. It only kind of helps you limp along. Like what helped my husband heal was having the surgery on his leg and taking the time that it needed to heal, not the crutches themselves. It just limped him along for a while.
Right.
And so I think that's kind of what we do with crutches, is really what we need is the healing of our savior. And instead we're just putting this band-aid on through online shopping or wine or coffee or whatever it may be.
Yeah. So I think the gospel gives us a better way. And we thought for this show, instead of kind of going through creation, fall, redemption, restoration, we love that. We just wanted to bring out just a couple of stories about people who hit the end of their rope, or they were completely paralyzed, or they were just needy, needy people. And Jesus was just so compassionate and merciful to them. So this isn't from the perspective of two Bible teachers, but just things that have impacted us as we look at the scriptures and say, wow, Jesus is really the best. He's the only one who's able to offer this.
Yeah. So first off, we can look at Mark 2, the paralytic. And this is a man who cannot walk. He is totally paralyzed, and his friends lower him through the roof to be in front of Jesus. And at that moment, Jesus sees their faith and he forgives the man's sins, which is his eternal need, but he also heals his body. Mm-hmm. And from there, the man gets up and he walks without having, you know, he's no longer laying on the mat. And so God gets the glory and people are just amazed. And we think that that parallels well to motherhood, how we feel so parallel sometimes, but it is okay to come to Jesus completely incapable. That man could not do anything to save himself, to help him to walk. That's how we approach the throne. And when we approach with faith, Jesus can forgive our sins and bring us into true fellowship with God and healing us in a way that really counts. And then we have the Holy Spirit, and he helps us to keep going in his strength and give God glory. So I think that that also is a great picture for other people to see God's strength in our weaknesses.
Yes. And I loved that it's about like people were amazed.
Yeah.
God got glory. And that is what is so cool when we turn to Jesus instead of some of our crutches. It's it's God getting glory yes. as well. And other people going, wow, like how is she sustained? It's through the grace of God. Mm. Another that comes to mind is from Mark 5. And this is the woman who has been bleeding for 12 years. And in their culture, she would have been considered unclean. She probably would have been out of fellowship with people that she wanted to be around. She tried everything. She'd been to every doctor. If you want to use this language, she tried every crutch, every means of getting by with temporary healing. And all of this actually just makes her worse, that her problem has gotten worse from all of those things. So she hears about Jesus and she comes to just touch his robe. And she thinks, okay, if I just do this, I will be healed. And that is what happens. She is fully, completely healed from her affliction. And when Jesus realizes what happens, he turns around to address her and she just falls down prostrate before him. And he tells her that it's her faith that has made her well. And so now she can get up and go in peace. And she is now made clean. And there's all these things in her life that are going to start little by little to be restored because of the healing that she received. So I think in motherhood, we are often trying every means to take care of ourselves. Like we're like this when we're going to see every doctor possible. And really, it's just making us worse when yep. we don't approach Jesus. But we can come to him in faith with our deepest hurts and our deepest issues. And he's not afraid of that. We're not going to make him unclean.
Yeah. And one thing we want to point out is that sometimes this process can take a while, that sanctification takes time. And one thing that always comes to mind for me is my husband worked a lot. We've done a show about it before when husbands work long hours that you can check out and we'll link in the show notes. But in that season, my husband worked for a long time, for about 7 years. And I had a very bad attitude for many of those years. And I didn't understand why God wouldn't take away sort of that thorn or help us to fix that issue and have him not work quite so much. But I think that the transformation that I needed mm-hmm. in order to understand like where Christ was at in my life and how he sustained me took a lot of time. And sometimes God sees it good for us to be in the wait and to travel through a very long season of surrender. And so we want to point out that mm-hmm. this isn't always a quick fix. And mm-hmm. just because you say, okay, I'm going to get rid of my crutch, doesn't mean that you're going to turn around and always have this great attitude and perspective, but it's constantly going back yeah. to the cross and continually repenting, continually saying, Lord, I want you more than I mm-hmm. want this quick fix. And we learn a lot in that longer season. And Emily, you have like a really good quote, I think. So I want you yeah. to read it.
I just ran across it. It's from Zach Eswine. And he's kind of talking in response to some of these stories where we see Jesus do these miraculous healings. And he says, the presence of inconsolable things reminds us that healing is not the same as heaven. Miracles are real and powerful, but they do not remove the inconsolable things. And he goes on to talk about how these people that received healing, you know, like let's say the lame man who walks, like he could still trip and break his leg later in life. There was still situations that came up that were hurtful. So it's still a long process. So whatever it is, whatever situation you're in, God may actually be working for his glory as you just turn to him day in and day out over and over and over again and feel like you're taking one step forward and two steps back. That is, I think, really normal.
Yeah. So bringing this down, what does all this mean for us moms who are struggling, mm-hmm. which I think is every woman listening to this podcast? It is a good place when we are weak. Being weak shows how Jesus mm-hmm. is strong. And so when we are poor in spirit and meek and humble, when we're at the end of our rope, we can be a lot like that paralytic and realize that we can't do this on our own. But that's where Christ shows up and he fills us up and we rely on him. And so we can turn to him in prayer mm-hmm. and confession and just crying out to him. He wants that. He knows how you feel already. So don't be afraid to show your weakness in front of the mm-hmm. Lord.
Yeah. And this next one, it's hard to believe at times, but it's true. And it's Jesus is better than anything you are using as a crutch. He is more wonderful and more enjoyable. So we may be running to more Netflix shows or, you know, social media, and they do satisfy a little bit. Mm-hmm. One thing I say to my kids a lot is like, this might make you a little bit happy for a little while, but only God is going to make you the most happy for the longest period of time. And we have to say that truth to ourselves. There is a hymn that I love that I think speaks to this, and it's, "Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power." And then it goes on to say this: "When we arise, I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms." And I love that because it's not just a picture of us coming weak and wounded, which we are, but it's a picture of us finding 10,000 charms, you know, endless things to enjoy in Jesus. And that is a hard thing to believe, but we can embrace that more and more.
And finally, we know that God has everything he needs to sustain us. He is the source of our power, mm-hmm. of our patience, of our long suffering. Like, Jesus is all of that for us. And so I think often we can come to him kind of thinking that he's withholding from us, or that he might withhold something from us, or that he doesn't really care about something. But we have to remember that he owns everything. Mm-hmm. He controls everything. He is sovereign over all. And so this should give us a lot of confidence that when we go to him, we will get the help that we need. Mm-hmm. And he can provide all of that for us. And he will, because he loves you, Mom.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We know that this show doesn't solve everything. You may still have situations in your life that you're like, I don't even see the light at the end of the tunnel. This feels like this is never ending. And so what am I going to do if I give up my crutches? How am I going to survive? But we are just trusting God is working in your heart as he's working in ours to begin to see ways that we can turn to God, turn to Christ in those hard situations, and begin to put some of those things that are good in their rightful place in our lives, which may still be enjoying a cup of coffee, may still be going to the gym, but not relying on that for sustenance. So anyways, if you want to find out more about this, you can go to our website, risenmotherhood.com. We'll have show notes there with lots of links to different helpful things and quotes in the show. So you can also find us on at Risen Motherhood, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Yep. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Hi, I'm Josie. I donate to Risen Motherhood because it continuously helps point me back to God with whatever area of motherhood I'm struggling to see through a gospel lens. I know now that I have sisters in Christ all over the world seeking to be good mothers by being faithful followers of Christ. Join me in providing free gospel-centered resources for mums through Risen Motherhood at risenmotherhood.com/donate.
Don't forget, if you'd like to donate to Risen Motherhood and continue getting gospel-centered content in the hands of moms all over the world, head to risenmotherhood.com/donate.